Chapter 35. Sitting on the lucid dream, Priya listened to Joe's call and was excited to be a member of the field team, yet slightly jealous that Kurt and Joe were having all the fun. Diving had been a fascination of hers for years. The excitement to do more of that had been a big draw in joining Numa, but the accident had taken most of that away. She still dived on occasion, but it was only for leisure now, and it was a complicated effort to set up those opportunities. "See what else you can find out about the Monarch," Joe had suggested. "Will do," she'd said dutifully. "Be careful down there." "You too." That was the last communication. "You too," Priya thought. "What am I supposed to be careful about? Not getting carpal tunnel syndrome from all this computer work?" Self-pity was a trait she despised. She shrugged off the disappointment, got back to work, and spent the next 10 minutes searching fruitlessly for information on the Monarch. She'd searched public sources, media references, and even ran a query for sightings of the plane on Facebook and Twitter. She'd tapped into FAA and International Air Traffic Control databases. Aside from a few air shows, boat shows, and other carefully staged PR events, news of the Monarch appeared only on the rarest of occasions. All of which suggested the plane rarely flew. But information she'd downloaded about its engine overhaul schedule told her the plane had logged nearly 4,000 hours of flight time in the last 2 years, enough to cover 1 million miles. "You don't rack up all those frequent flyer miles going from Bermuda to Miami for boat shows," she said. She looked across the water. Tessa's compound remained dimly lit, but a few security lights silhouetted the Monarch. It sat like a shadowy ghost. A ghost that went anywhere it wanted, without the world knowing. Frustrated by her inability to find anything of value and bored with sitting and watching, an idea occurred to her. It was an idea she should have pushed aside as soon as it came to mind, but instead she romanced the thought for a moment, considering the possibilities and potential drawbacks. The more she thought about it, the stronger its pull became. Staring across the water at the silent plane, she spoke as if addressing it personally. "If you won't be good enough to tell us where you've been, then perhaps we should stop asking and start tracking you." The trip to Bermuda had been planned rapidly. Not wanting to get caught short, Kurt had ordered them to bring anything that might be helpful. In addition to Joe's powered diving gear, the high-tech cameras, listening devices, and drones, they'd brought with them beacons the team called geo-trackers. With an incredible adhesive that bonded to everything it touched, the geo-trackers could be attached to moving boats, floating garbage, even sharks, whales, and other living things. "Why not?" she told herself. "If Kurt can swim across the bay for a date, why can't I do the same to advance our mission?" She could accomplish the task using just her arms, but thanks to Joe, she didn't have to do it on her own. She set the camera on record, wrote an entry into her computer log, and wheeled herself toward the yacht's small elevator. A moment later, she was on the lower deck, retrieving one of the powered dive suits from the locker. She disrobed and pulled the suit on, adjusting the fit until it was snug. That done, she pulled the top up over her shoulders, slid her arms in, and zipped it up. In comparison to getting the wetsuit situated, donning the rest of the gear was easy. She tested every item, double-checked the power pack, and then pulled out one of the geo-trackers. With a rebreather in place, she scooted to the edge of the transom. With only the briefest of second thoughts, she pushed herself backward and plunged into the waters of Bermuda's Great Sound. She swam with her arms for a minute, setting her buoyancy to a slightly negative level while she submerged and activated the suit. Her right leg kicked, and then her left. The artificial muscle contractions happened slowly and awkwardly at first. Using the controller on her forearm, she increased the pace until it became a natural rhythm. Over the past few years, she'd had many dreams in which she was running and climbing, but far more where she was swimming. And while she couldn't feel the squeezing sensation that Kurt and Joe felt, because the sensation could not pass the break in her spine, she felt the movement and the power in her hips and her lower back. The sensation of speed was incredible, euphoric. For just a moment, she felt as if she was flying.